study. The passage that I'm going to be sharing, the Lord has laid on my heart to preach from this morning, has already been read. Judah read it in the scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1. So, if you want to, you can turn your Bibles there. Before we begin reading, let's pray. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you this morning and thank you to be able to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And Father, this morning I do pray that you would bless your word, Lord. Help me just to speak your word and your word alone, Lord, and just to be a vessel for you to use, a channel. Anoint your word with the Holy Spirit this morning, Father, and may you be glorified and honored. Heavenly Father, I pray that we could just, through your word, be drawn closer to you. Father, I pray that your word would find fertile ground and bring forth fruit, Lord. May we be encouraged and exhorted by your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be sharing from for the text from 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20. Says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so this morning I want to preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the subject we hear bits and pieces in passing and sermons here and there, but this morning I want to just spend a little time on the blood of Christ. I think it's important that we lift up the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the only cleansing agent that washes away my sin and your sin. It's, when we get dirty, we take a bath and we use soap. But, you know, our soap that we use for take a bath and to clean our dishes is not going to cleanse our sin. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, true Christianity is the only religion that is trusting in something outside of themselves or something they can do, and that we have the precious blood of Christ. Every other religion, they trust in something they can do in their works or something. You know, our passage here says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. And, you know, I've read many accounts of Catholics, you know, they try to redeem themselves from their sins with silver and gold. They try to pay for, to have their sins cleansed. They take their money and they try to redeem their sins somehow by paying for it. But we're not redeemed. You know, I talk to Muslims, I talk to Hindus and all these people, but they try to, to redeem their sins by doing good works, hoping their good works outweigh their bad. But we, as believers of Christ, we are simply trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we have, the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to take care of your sin, my sin, but the blood of Christ. It's the only thing. And so true Christianity is the only religion that trusts in something outside of ourselves. And God has ordained the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sin. Look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This is the method that God has ordained, that we can live the Christian life. We turn over to Romans chapter 3. I have quite a bit of scripture today. If you want, you can follow along. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." So God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Faith in his blood. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we need to lift up the blood of Christ because this is where the source of spiritual life comes from. Just as our physical life comes from our blood. Leviticus talks about this. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you up on the altar." I should back up here. First of all, God here is giving instruction to the children of Israel how that they should treat the blood, you know, even the blood of animals. He's telling them that they should not eat blood, they should not consume blood. And I'll back up to verse 10. He says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you up on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Remember, we read in 1 Peter there, verse 20, that this is what God hath ordained. This is the method God hath ordained. Why is chosen this? You know, he's God, and he can choose what he wants. And so God tells them that they should not be eating blood or drinking blood. You know, I've witnessed people already catching blood, you know, of an animal to consume it for human consumption. But God says that that is not so. And he says, why? He says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." For your soul, for my soul. And so God does not want us to take the blood and use it in that way. And he says, "Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." And so God sets the blood apart from any other thing. And it stresses it's for atonement only. "For the life is in the flesh of the blood, and he has given it to us for you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." And again, our text in 1 Peter 1:20 says that God ordained it for that. And so we jump over to Exodus, and we have the first example of a real specific example of the blood making an atonement for a people. In Exodus chapter 12, The children of Israel, you know, are in Egypt. They are in bondage. And verse 5, God's giving Moses instruction here what they should do. He says that they should get a lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And we jump on down to verse 11. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so God gave them specific instruction here that they're going to, that they should kill a lamb. They should, before I go on, I just want to make clear, you know, this morning here, that I want to lift up the blood, and hopefully by the end of the message here, that we can have a real thankfulness for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the scripture says it's a sacrifice, it's an atonement that is forever. And here, notice here, it's by an ordinance forever. You know, God has chosen the blood to make an atonement forever. And I brought an illustration along. Some of you have seen it before, but I think most of you haven't this morning, about, you know, if you'd have been back in that day, you'd been a little child even, you'd have went out with your dad, and you'd have got your favorite, probably the best sheep of the herd, you know, maybe it was your pet. Yeah, because it had to be the best. God didn't want their lame. He wanted their best. And so maybe it was their pet lamb. Maybe it was their only lamb. And they had to bring it, and they had to slit this animal's throat, and they had to put it around the doorpost. Some of you saw this, so bear with me. You have, maybe it won't work up here, but I thought if I could, put it up here. Might not stay. I might just have to set it up here. But anyway, they had to get a, you know, maybe dad was with the children, or the children were with dad, you know, they had to get the lamb out. They had to get a bowl around. They had to get a knife around. They had to get a knife around. They had to get a bowl around, and then they also had to go kill this lamb and catch all the blood in a bowl. Thank you, Christopher. They had to catch all the. They had to take the knife, slit the lamb's throat, you know, and as the lamb is bleeding, they had to catch all the blood. And you would see it dripping down, you know, the blood would be running down. I won't make too big of a mess here. But then, here it says that they had to strike it on the doorpost. I don't know if they had to take a piece of cloth, but it says strike it. You know, blood was everywhere. You know, some of us have, many of us have experienced butchering, you know, and, you know, I can do it. It's not my most favorite thing to do. You know, blood gets everywhere. But we're going to see here in the Old Testament, that, oops, sorry, I should have, thank you. We're going to see here in the Old Testament that it was a time of much blood. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ today. And so God told them that they should strike it on the doorpost. I don't know how they did it, but, you know, this is supposed to be a door frame. And so I don't know if they struck it, but I won't fling it all over here for the sake of Rachel cleaning the church house. But they had to strike it on the doorpost, and I'm sure it was dripping down all over. And so they had to catch the blood of the lamb, and I'm sure there's blood all over. But God says when he sees the blood on the doorpost, he will pass over them. That is where he was, that's what he was looking for. He was looking for the blood atonement. And so the blood atonement needs to be made in our hearts today. If God didn't, we all know what happened. If God passed over a house doorpost that didn't have the blood upon it, then the firstborn, that first child, died. You know, there's some firstborns in here today. You know, I'm sure if Dad would have gave you instructions and told you, you'd have heard Moses say that, you'd have been there right beside Dad saying, Dad, let's make sure we have this right, because if it's not, then I'm going to die tonight. You know, and so I'm sure there were many firstborns there making sure Dad was doing it right, because if not, they were going to be in eternity. And so today I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. And turn over with me to Exodus chapter 29, verse 21. It says, and thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments. This is God giving instruction to Moses, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his son with him. And he shall be hallowed, his garments, and his son's garments with him. And thou shalt also take a... Okay, I'm going to stop at 21 there. But I'm going to back up and read verse 20. It says, then shalt thou kill the ram, take of his blood, put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar around about it. And so these things are all types and shadows pointing to Jesus Christ. And so can you imagine there what a sight Aaron was? You know, Moses took blood, put it up on his tip of his right ear, put it on his right thumb, put it up on his big right toe. I mean, there was blood all over. And so it was a bloody sight. And we turn over to Exodus chapter 24. Can you imagine doing this every time you gathered to worship the Lord? This is what the Lord required. Every time they gathered to worship the Lord, there was blood involved. It was a bloody, bloody mess. In Exodus 24, verse 8, it says this, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So here Moses took the blood of these animals, and he went around And every one, you know, there were, there's millions of people came out of Egypt, over a million people. And he went around and he sprinkled the blood of these animals upon all the people, it says. It says he sprinkled the blood. And, you know, like I shared earlier, many of us have participated in butchering, and I'm always glad when it's over with. You know, many of us get splattered in blood. And look at verse 5. Moses, this is Moses, he's giving orders, and he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And so, you know, if you'd have been a young man back that day, your job was to butcher those animals and catch the blood so Moses would have blood to sprinkle on, you know. All you young men would have been, every time you'd have gathered to worship the Lord, your job would have been butchering. You'd have been killing animals to catch his blood. He sent young men of the children of Israel. It was a young men's job to do this. And so, in verse 6 says, and Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And so I just want you to imagine with me, even King Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, it says that they sacrificed 22,000 oxen. They sacrificed 120,000 sheep to dedicate the temple, all that blood. And so I have a little story here. Says, I once heard a very earnest and evangelical minister say that he had been accosted by a man who had heard him preach with this criticism. I don't like your theology. It is too bloody. It savors of the shambles. You know, what's a shamble? A shamble is a butchering place. You know, if you've ever been to Haiti, to the butchering market, you know, it's called the shambles. It's quite a sight. You know, there's blood everywhere. I was there 2 years ago. It savors of the shamble. It is all blood, blood, blood. I like a pleasanter gospel. The minister replied, well, my theology is bloody. It recognizes as its foundation a very sanguinary scene, the death of Christ with bleeding hands, feet, and side. I am quite content it should be bloody, for God has said that without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And so I know some of you brothers were out. I'm sharing on the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And I'm just laying a picture, hoping for us to have a real thankfulness for the blood of Jesus Christ that we have today. So we have all this blood in the Old Testament, which was a type of Christ and the shedding of his blood once and for all. You know, I was reading there how Moses sprinkled all the people with blood. It says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 9. And I was just letting my imagination run a little bit. You know, I was thinking of all their wives and all the young ladies trying to clean all this clothes every week. What a job that must have been, just to clean all this bloody clothes, coming together to worship. It was required, all the blood that was required when they gathered to worship God. And so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there. I just want to move into the New Testament, but I just wanted to lay out a little picture of what God has ordained and how it must have looked like in the Old Covenant and what a blessing that we have today, that we have the blood of Christ. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1 through 8. You know, all this blood that we just saw in the Old Testament, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. You know, those things were a shadow of something good to come, something better. And not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Those things back there that we just read, it could not make the people perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he, Christ, Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and burnt offering and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. See, God had no pleasure in those things. God didn't have pleasure in all that blood that was shed there. He had no pleasure. He had a better way. Jump over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. It says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Notice that word, without spot. Remember, they had to go get a lamb without blemish. You know, when Jesus stood before Pilate, he says, I find no fault. You know, they had to go out, they had to inspect this lamb there at the Passover, and they had to look for a fault, they had to look for a blemish. But when Jesus was in Pilate's hall, Pilate also examined him, and he says, I find no fault. And here this scripture says that he offered himself without spot. He was faultless. He was blameless. And so, just want to continue here. There's a lot in the Old Covenant, and we come into the New Covenant, and the blood is still required. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And we jump over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. It says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You know, Jesus also, he suffered without the gate. He says in Matthew 26, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So, you know, here you have the doorpost. Doorpost and Jesus Christ is the picture. He was the Lamb without spot. He hung up on the cross. He shed his blood for many, it says. Notice it says for many. You know, not everybody's going to apply the blood just as they did, not everybody did the day of the Passover. Some were experienced death, but many, many were saved that night. Many found deliverance. And so he purchased us with his own blood. And so Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God, which he, Jesus, hath purchased with his own blood." You know, Jesus hath purchased with his own blood. And so he paid for it, you know. When you purchase something, you pay for it. You buy it. Well, he purchased it with his own blood. He was that lamb without spot, without blemish. And so, and now I want to look at the different things the blood of Jesus Christ does for us when we have faith in his blood. The first thing is, it washes us from our sin. Revelations 1:5. I'm just going to be spending the rest of the time on what the blood of Jesus Christ does for you and I. Revelations 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the Prince of Kings unto the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." He washed us from our sins in his own blood, "and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." You know, an illustration we can use, you know, I don't quite understand how all that works, you know, how his blood can wash us, but, you know, God says it and I believe it. In the same manner, our body has blood flowing through it. And, you know, our body, the blood in our body there's life in our blood, and when our blood is healthy, it purifies and keeps out the toxins and stuff and the poisons so that we can stay healthy. You know, our blood in our body is continually purifying the toxins and everything, you know, that I don't understand the body, but as the blood flows through, it is purifying the toxins from our body and sending them to our liver, and then we dispose of it, those toxins and poisons. And so the blood in our body cleanses us. It's continually cleansing us. And so the scripture says that unto him, Jesus Christ, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, in his own blood. You know, it was without defilement. It's pure. And the blood of Jesus is your only hope to be cleansed or washed from your sins. It doesn't matter how good of a person you have been in your lifetime. God says you have sinned and come short of his glory. It doesn't matter how good of a person. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So we sing the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." So it's his blood that washes us. Not only does it does Jesus wash us with his blood, but he redeems us with his blood. Revelations 5, 9 through 10. Revelations 5, 9 through 10. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and the people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth." So what does the word redeem mean? It means to buy out, to set free, to make us function differently than we used to. For example, sometimes you see these pictures of somebody finds an an old car back in a corner of an old barn, and they say that how what a treasure they just discovered. It's been hidden back there and covered up, and they start uncovering it, and it's rusty and it's not working. But then he buys it and he begins to redeem it. He takes his car and he starts to getting it to function again, to bring it to life, to put life into it. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It puts life. There's life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. There's life in the blood. He redeems us and makes us a new creation that functions. You know, as Brother Chris was sharing, that we can do everything for His glory. It's not for our glory, my glory, no more. It's His glory and His glory alone. You know, you were created to bring glory to God, not yourself. And so I appreciate that, Brother Chris. You know, we are created to bring glory to God with our life. We aren't created to bring glory to ourselves, what I can do and what I can accomplish in this life, but bring glory to God. And that is what redeeming us to God is, where we come to a place in our life, in our Christian life, that we can be redeemed. Bringing glory unto God. That's redemption. You know, have you been redeemed? Are you being changed by the blood of Jesus Christ? You know, we have been redeemed, it says. He has redeemed us to God by thy blood, you know, by his blood. Colossians 1 gives us a picture of redemption. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, when you think of light and when you think of darkness, you know, when you're no longer in darkness, you have been redeemed. When you're no longer under the power, you have your sins washed away by the blood, you have been redeemed. You have found forgiveness of your sins. And so it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be in partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So this morning, the blood of Christ washes us from our sins, it redeems us, and the blood of Jesus Christ also gives us peace with God. Look over Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ can also gives us peace with God. Do you have peace with God in your heart this morning? When you think of meeting the Lord right now, just right now, you have to meet the Lord. Does it strike fear in your heart, or is there peace? Because the blood of Jesus Christ gives us peace. It says there, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, the blood of his cross, having made peace. There's peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember of not having peace. I remember walking around thinking on eternity, what's going to happen to me when I die? Am I going to make it or am I not? But praise the Lord, he showed me that I wasn't. And I did something. I applied the blood of Jesus Christ. I repented and got born again. And God is faithful. If we're open and transparent and walking in the light, he shows us. And then also, the next thing the blood of Jesus Christ does, it justifies us. Romans 5:9, it says that the blood of Christ justifies us. Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much more than being now justified by his blood. His blood. You know, we were bought with his blood. Just that justified means just as if we have never sinned. You know, we can stand before God on the day of judgment and be saved from his wrath because of his blood. The blood's been applied to the doorpost of our heart, and we've made peace with God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The other thing that the blood of Christ does, it enables us to be close to God, have a relationship with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Ephesians 2:12, it says that at the time you were without Christ, this is when you're without Christ, blood's not been applied, being aliens. You know, people like to talk about aliens, you know, something, you know, an alien means something from another another planet. You know, if you're not in the kingdom of God, God looks at you, you're from another planet. You need to come into God's kingdom and no longer be an alien. It says being an aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise and having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, way off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're made close unto God. You know, now you can come into the presence of God. Now you can have a relationship. You're no longer... you know, the blood of Christ enables us that we can get close and have a personal relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18 talk about, this is talking about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? But we jump down to 17. This is God's heart's desire that you would come out from being an alien, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, sons and daughters have an access to things in their father and mother's homes. Like Brother Mike here, he has children, he has sons and daughters. They have access to things in his home that I do not have and my children do not have access to, you know, because they're sons and daughters. You know, they are close. They are made nigh, they're nigh to him. And in the same way, my children have access to Brother Mike's children to things in our home and my home, household that his children don't have. And so, because they are my sons and daughters, they are made nigh, they're nigh unto me, they're close to me. And so, you know, if we are not nigh unto the Father, then we're still aliens. We're still out in another planet. We're not in God's kingdom. And so, the blood of Jesus, it says, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So these are things that the blood of Jesus Christ does for you and I. We're made nigh. We can have a relationship. We have access to the throne of grace. We can come to him in a time of need. We sang songs this morning, you know, in deep trials. We can come to him and he helps us. So we are made nigh. We're made close to our Heavenly Father. The next thing I want to look at that it does is there's overcoming power in the blood. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know, if you're struggling today, the power to overcome is in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's your only source for victory. There's no other way that unless you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing that song, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's power in the blood. That's where your power lies to overcome your besetting sin, whatever you're struggling with. That's where your power is. And so, do we see the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? You know, talk about overcoming the seven churches there in Revelations. After each message that Jesus Christ gave to him, he gave him a promise. Each promise was about being an overcomer. To the one, he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To the church at Smyrna, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To the church at Pergamos, he wrote, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. And to the church at Thyatira, he says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. To the church at Sardis, he says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To the church at Philadelphia, he says, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more in and out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And I like what he says to the church at Laodicea. You know, this is the one he had the harshest message, you could say, you know. They were probably in the worst state. And I like what he promises them if they're overcomers. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I like that promise to an overcomer. It's to you and I today. Be an overcomer by the blood of Christ. So would you be free from all your passions, anything you struggle with? The power is in the blood. And the next one I want to look at, this is in 1 John 1:7, a very familiar one. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps us clean also as we walk in the light. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I believe this verse is a promise to the believer. You know, I am walking in the light. The verse before that says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, I'm walking in the light. I'm trusting God in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And as I'm walking along, say I stumble, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me because I'm continually trusting. But that doesn't give me a reason to continue in sin. Not at all. But just the same as you and I, we are going through this life, and the blood in our bodies is continually cleansing us from poison and toxins and things. As we walk in the light, open honesty, transparent, not hiding things, The blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing me as I trust and believe in Him. And, you know, what happens in our body when, you know, for example, my father-in-law is here today, but his sister right now is on her deathbed, because of cancer. See, I just want to use this illustration that her blood is no longer able to detoxify her body and clean her body, and cancer has taken over. And her blood is no longer cleansing her body, and it's choking out the life. The life is in the flesh of the blood. You know, medical doctors say that the blood is actually what makes the heart pump. It's not the heart. I always thought maybe it was the other way around, but it's actually because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood, the life in the blood is what makes the heart pump. And that's an interesting, to think about when you think of the blood of Christ. The life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is in the blood. And so his sister's body is shutting down because she's not being cleansed no more by her own blood. And in the same way, if we, you know, I believe it has a lot to do with heart attitude. You know, if I have a heart attitude to live a holy life and I hate sin, I'm not looking to sin, you know, and if I do stumble, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. But if I start habitually continuing in sin and hardening my heart, then, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is no longer going to cleanse me. It's going to, death is going to overtake. And so it's very important that we walk, you know, as he says, walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It cleanses us as in our daily walk, in our daily life. So we see what all the blood of Christ does for us. The blood washes us. His blood redeems us. His blood gives us peace with God. His blood justifies us. It makes us so that we can have a relationship with God. It gives us overcoming power. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And then the last thing that it will do, you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this is the one we don't want to miss. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory, and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. You know, here was a man. Jesus just said, you know. He said unto me, they are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The last thing is the white robe. At the day of judgment, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to clothe you with a white robe so that you won't be found naked when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so I praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. It may be a bloody theology, but eternal life is in the blood of Christ. Whoever lives, just as the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, your only hope for life eternal is in the blood of Christ. If you're trusting in anything else, your good works, your own goodness, you will not be saved from the wrath of God on Judgment Day. It's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that is going to clothe you in a robe of white and wash your sins away. Nothing else. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at today. It's not too late to have your sins washed away and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to close with a couple verses here in Hebrews chapter 13. Just to the last point here in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The blood of the everlasting covenant. You know, all that bloodshed we saw in the old covenant, God had no pleasure. But this is the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross for you and I. This is the blood of the everlasting covenant that was sin was atoned there at the cross of Calvary once and for all. And so this morning, I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that, you know, I don't have to be butchering all those animals to make atonement for my sin, because I have the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. You know, we heard this morning, it's all in Christ. It's through him. You know, well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So if you want to live the Christian life, the life is in the blood. Just as we live physically, the life is in our blood. The life to live the Christian life is in the blood of Christ. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I do thank you this morning for your blood, which is you freely shed at Calvary for our sins. And Lord, I do pray if someone here is not ready to meet you, Lord, and has not had their sins washed away, Lord, that you would